Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Promoting peace, liberty, and prosperity around the clock. LibertyTalk.fm.
Good morning and happy new year. Welcome to Medicine on Call. This is Dr. Elena George, and I'm going to start off the new year with a little bit of different take today. We're talking about medicine as usual, but this time we're going to talk about our furry friends, our pets. And one of the reasons we're going to talk about them is because as our pets go, so do we. We've seen a growth in the amongst our pets of the same diseases that we have: obesity, high blood pressure, diabetes, and pets living shorter lifespans and ending up either needing expensive medical care or losing your pet early. And I can speak to this personally because I lost my cat after kidney disease, and I firmly believe it was because of the pet food that I fed him. So I actually saw this guest, our guest today, on Shark Tank, and I was absolutely amazed, and I was, you know, heartened that there's somebody out there who really cares about the health of the pets, and, you know, we're not that different from them. And physiologically, if we can do half of what we do for our pets and carry that over to our own lives, I think we'd all live healthier lives and not be victims of this food industry, which, if we think our food is bad, Dr. Broderick's going to tell us how bad the actual pet food industry is and what we're feeding them and the treats. And I think we need to be educated. And if we can do that for our pets, then maybe we can feel that we're worthy as well. Dr. Jeffrey Broderick, I want to welcome you to my show today.
Thank you, Dr. George. It's my pleasure.
Hey, tell us a little bit about yourself and how you started this crusade to raise the standard.
Well, I was about 3 years old when I knew I was going to do all this. And I didn't know I was going to do all this, but I knew I was going to be an animal doctor.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's a long story getting there, I got into veterinary medical school at Kansas State University. I was in the first class of nutrition ever taught in any medical school in the United States. And that was taught by the great Russ Fry of Kansas State University. And I was in his class, and he became my mentor, and I became his protege. And that was the start of alternative medicine for me, of knowing that there wasn't another way except synthetics and chemicals to treat, and synthetics and chemicals to eat. And I knew I could see my grandfather's dog in my mind living to 23 years old, my grandmother's cat living to 25 years old, and how now I'm in the class with Russ Fry, and looking back at this 28 years before and seeing these animals living that old, and now I'm looking at animals that are below 20. And now, so that's how it started. After this class had ended in the spring of 1969, we all stood there and took an oath to do no harm. Well, okay. And then I started practicing, and now we're below 19 and then 18, and now we're down to 8. So it is about the looking at these animals living to 8 years old now. When I was on the Shark Tank, they lived till 10, because Shark Tank was 6 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember somebody calling me, you know, a few weeks ago. I've been on the Shark Tank 13 times. And And the reason I'm on Shark Tank 13 times, or have been 13 times and waiting for my 14th time, is because it's so controversial. So controversial. And this person said to me a few months ago, it was one of the Shark Tank, I think it was the 12th time I was on, and he said to me, listen, I saw you on Shark Tank and you said you could raise my dog. My dog is, 8 years old. You could raise the lifespan of the dog by 50%. Is that true? So I thought for a moment, and I said, no, it's not true. He says, why did you say it? I said, because you're calling me now, 2015. That was a couple of months ago.
Mm-hmm.
And now this is 6 years later. So when I said that, the average age for a dog and cat, the dog and cat combo, I always use the combo, the mix between the dog and the cat, because when I grew up, everybody had a dog and a cat. Grandma had a cat and grandpa had a dog. Grandma's cat moused the house and grandpa's dog protected the house. Okay? So I said, when I said this, the average age was 10. So in order to get them to an increase of 50%, all I had to do is get them to 15. Well, now, 6 years later, the average age of the dog and cat is only 8. And so we're already over 18. So all I had to do is get them to 16 to get to 100%.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the possibility. The possibility is there. It's not a death sentence. All we have to do is change the way we think about them and the way we appreciate them, and the way we understand that we have to change the food and we have to get rid of what we're doing. So I created a paradigm over this 47 years. I was laughing last night with somebody talking to them because in another 2.5 years, I will have been doing this for half a century.
So, quite a while.
So the people have to realize that there's 5 people in the average United States family, and one of them walks on all fours. Only one gives unconditional love. And that one is treated differently than the rest of the people. The rest of the people are cooked for, pampered with. They have dancing lessons. They have horseback riding lessons. They have football lessons. They have tennis lessons. And all the paraphernalia that goes with it. Some are in private schools. They all go to school. They go to college and blow away $45,000 their first year of college because they're away from home. The wasted money on children is incredible, and on education is incredible, because nothing's worth $45,000 to go to school for a year to get a 2.0 average. And so the animal cost nothing, and it doesn't ask for car keys. So it's all it does is do what Skunky's doing right now. I'm talking to you. I'm in my library, and I'm talking to you, and Skunky is curled up between my legs, sitting on my lap. And that's what she is. She's just a cat, a black and white cat, with a big stripe down her back, the Skunky. And she came to me when she was a couple of days old, and she was thrown in a lake by the guy who owned her. I love that word. And so her brother drowned in the bag, and she was outside the bag holding on to the bag and floating in the lake, and a man found her and brought her to my clinic, and we saved her. And here she is, six years later, curled up on me while I'm talking to you. So the people have to understand it's the consumer that's part of the problem, because the consumer doesn't understand has to understand unconditional love and that how priceless it is, and they worry about a nickel one way or another of what they're spending for this cat or dog that they apparently love so much. So the consumer has to change that attitude and that aspect of their thinking, where what are they really getting? They cannot replace this. Mm-hmm. You know, they cannot replace this being. It only lives for a certain amount of time, and we're getting it back to 20. So when I was born, the cat and the dog, my grandfather's dog lived till 23, and my grandmother's dog lived till, grandmother's cat lived till 25. So there is an average of 25 to 23 without, I know you can figure this out, but you ask a kid to do it, and they have to get a calculator out to get the average of 25 to 23. And so they lived till 24, and now they live till 8. Well, they've lost two-thirds of their lifespan. What more do we have to do to start learning? Two-thirds, 8, 16, 24, they lost two-thirds. They're down to 8 years of age. And people go, oh, no, you know, that's not true, and that's not true. Well, you know what? I've been doing this. I'm 74 years old. I was October 23rd, okay? So I've been doing this a long time. And I have made these observations of and I've worked on a million animals, a million. I've done 150,000 hysterectomies. I've done 150,000 neuterings. I've done every kind of surgery that you could possibly do. And I'll tell you what, it's the experience level is good enough for me. A million animals is a nice round number.
Yeah, okay, I think that's definitely a great number. Look, I from a personal standpoint, what you said I can actually vouch for. When I was a child, first grade, I got my first cat. She lived until I graduated from college. My second cat died at age 8, and my third cat died at age 7. So there's definitely, we're going in the wrong direction, and we're going to take a break. And I want you to give us an idea of what is it that's causing this decrease in the lifespan of the pet. Is it the food? Is it the water? So think about that for a second. We're going to take a break, and we'll come back. You're listening to Medicine on Call. Welcome back to Medicine on Call. Today we're speaking with Dr. Jeffrey Broderick, the owner and founder of Cornucopia and a world-renowned veterinarian, humanitarian. And, you know, before the break, Dr. Broderick, we were talking about why the lifespan of pets has dropped so precipitously. I mean, within 10 years, I've saw a 50% decrease in the lifespan of my pets. What is it? I mean, what kind of food are they pushing on the pets? So my last cat had something called Royal Canin. He was a Siamese mix, and it was the high-protein variety. And he was fine until he went on that food, and then his kidneys failed. And it was a devastating thing to lose him. And I found out that food was made, I think, in China or something. And I want people to understand, what is it that they're feeding their pets? Why are they getting so fat? Why are they dying early? Is there something toxic in the pet food?
Okay, well, you just mentioned a name brand, which I won't do, but I can tell you that what you were feeding was full of peas and corn and a natural flavor and meal. And so let's go through that a second. Your cat, and you were put on this as a kidney diet, as a diet to stop kidney failure.
No, actually, he didn't have kidney failure until he went on that.
Oh, really?
Right. It was because it was a Siamese formulation, high protein.
Right. Isn't that funny? A Siamese formulation.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, I don't have a formulation for Irish people or German people or Latinos or black people or white people. I have a formulation I have a formulation. I mean, it's so funny. Now they have a formulation for Siamese cats. I mean, it's just hysterical. The marketing and what it really is marketing.
Mm-hmm.
And we have formulations now for Chihuahuas. And when there's formulations out there for, I mean, we don't have this, it's ridiculous, but there's formulations out there for large breeds, small breeds, and all this other stuff, and one outlives the other, and all that kind of stuff. Well, they put that out there. They set the bar.
Mm-hmm.
So if you have a big dog, then the dog's going to live less. Well, I've got big dogs living till 16 and 18 years old, and they're all headed toward 20. And then I have little dogs that only live until 8 years old because they have cancer. So the average animal now not only dies at 8 years old, the average dog and cat, but they're sick at six. And they're sick at six, and they're tremendous money makers because you've got chemotherapy and radiation and the blood works and the stuff, and all that stuff is caused by what I'm going to answer you now. Okay, let's just do the cat for a second. A dog is, they're both carnivores. A cat and a dog are carnivores. A dog is a omnivorous carnivore, and a cat is a obligate carnivore. So you are feeding your cat a food that's loaded with peas, all right? Now, the cat looks up and says, did I order this? Who peed my food? I'm not a peeivore. I'm a carnivore. So the cat eats this because it has to, because that's what it has there. And, of course, it's got the natural flavor in it that makes them eat that. They don't want that. They want chicken. They want fish. They want beef. They want lamb. They want pork. They want whatever it is, whatever you're eating, because that's what they've been eating for the last couple of centuries, is what their parents, not their owners, have been giving them. Because that's what their parents were eating. So they ate from the table. Oh, no, you can't do that. That's no good. Well, I'll tell you later why it's no good. But the problem is that when the cat eats the pea is toxic for a cat. Carrots are toxic for a cat. Oh, well, I've got this food. Wow, this food is loaded with antioxidants. Look, it has blueberries in it. Oh, come on. A handful of blueberries in a 5,000-pound batch. How many blueberries are in there? And so it's marketing. We've got to get off the marketing, right? There was remember going back to graduation day,
mm-hmm.
when you took the oath, first do no harm?
Yep.
Okay? What happened to that? The harm is the advertising. The harm is the lie. The harm is giving them what you wouldn't give the rest of your family. We've segregated an animal which gives unconditional love, the only one in the family maybe that does give unconditional love, and we budgeted this thing to death. Literally, we have budgeted our animals to death. Well, how much does that cost? People ask me. I said, don't worry about what it costs. It doesn't cost anything, because my food is worth three times anything else on the market. Three times. How can I sell a can for $10 a can? You can't sell it. Nobody buys it. They look at the sticker. They go, no, this is impossible. But when you look at it, and when you look at it, you compare it with other things, it's worth three times any can of food in the United States. So if you paid $3 for your can of cat food, then this only costs you a dollar because it's worth three of those. So it's a money thing. The consumer is part of the problem. They're stuck on this. Let's budget that animal down, okay? But they'll go out and they'll have a beer for $5. They'll have a latte every day, maybe twice a day. They'll have a glass of Chardonnay, which costs $8 to $12, a glass of Cabernet, which costs $8 to $14, and they think absolutely nothing of it. But they'll budget the animal. And remember, there's no dancing school with these animals. And so they got to stop dancing around the animal. They have to learn that what they're feeding this animal is toxic. So let's go back to the toxicity. The peas and carrots and all that stuff, all those vegetables are all toxic to a cat, because the cat is an obligate carnivore. So we make a food that has no carbs. Well, how do you know it has no carbs? Because on my can, which is the only can in the United States of America, there's a carbohydrate value. And the carbohydrate value says carbohydrate under the guaranteed analysis. Carbohydrate less than 1%. 1% maximum. 1% maximum means there's no more than 1%. That means there's less than 1%. Less than 1%, what does that mean? It means there's no carbs in there. But you look at any pet food in the country, there will not be a carbohydrate value on there, because the carbohydrate value is really 50% of the dry weight basis. And so if you take the can and dry it, or you look at dry food, the carbohydrate value is not on there. So you look up protein, it's 24% protein, high protein, 24%. That is 16%. You get 24 and 15, that's 40%. That's 40%. All right, then you've got fiber, 4%. Well, fiber is a carb. So leave the fiber out, because it's going to go in the carbohydrate value anyway. But you go ahead, put the fiber in, and then put minerals in there. Of course, nobody says anything about minerals. They used to call it ash, because everybody was on this low ash, high ash, this mm-hmm. ash. Okay, it was the whole thing was absolute ridiculous. But put the ash in, and you got a 5% ash in there. All right, so what are you up to? You're up to 50%. What's the other 50%? The other 50% is carbohydrate. That's it. 50% of the cat foods are carbohydrate. The cat doesn't need carbs. It doesn't want carbs. It doesn't like carbs. It can't metabolize carbs. And so you're giving them stuff that they do not want, do not need, and cannot use. And so, why are you doing that?
So is this why we see these 25-pound cats? They're these huge. Is that why we see these really obese cats? You know, they're eating constantly. They're never satisfied, and they're huge. Is that the reason why?
They're huge. But huge is good, because huge makes sick cats bring in the bucks. And so you, and the sick cat becomes a diabetic cat. Well, we're reversing diabetes all over the place. All over the country, we're reversing diabetes. Because what you do is you take the carbs away. But if you take the carbs away, the cost of the food goes up. And there's another thing with the carbs. When you put rice in a can of food, that rice sucks up 2-to-1 water. So water, you go through your ingredients, and the chicken costs 50 cents a pound or whatever it is, and not mine, but 50 cents a pound, and then rice costs 16 cents a pound. Well, when you dilute it with water, you're down to 2 to 4 cents a pound after you dilute the thing with water. That's what the carbs do. They dilute the cost of manufacturing and increase the profit. And that's the other part of the problem. So when you put carbs on there, the carbs don't cost anything compared to protein and fat. Actually, fat costs the most. Right?
Mm-hmm.
So then How's a cat going to eat this stuff? Well, you're going to flavor it. Well, what are you going to use to flavor it? Well, you're going to put sugar in there, because the sugar is what makes what hooked my generation, what hooked your generation, and hooks every generation, except now. Now the generation that's the children of now, okay, that generation of children that happened to be in some sort of medical school, because remember, when we were in medical school, we weren't doctors. We were only doctors the day after. We were children where we were going to that school, all right? And people don't forget that the doctor was a child once. Now it's a doctor, knowing we just know everything about everything, all right? And so so what are you going to do this? Well, you put sugar in there. Well, why would you put sugar in there? Sugar's a very expensive little product, but it makes them eat it. Well, why not put aspartame? Because it's 200 times as sweet as sugar. So why would you put sugar in there even when you could put aspartame in there? Aspartame costs infinitesimally less than sugar. 1 pound instead of 200 pounds of sugar. Or you could put, and then you could add monosodium glutamate, MSG. You can mix MSG with sawdust and they'll eat MSG. And so, but who's going to do that? Nobody's going to feed their cat with any kind of sense of morality. They're not going to feed their cat aspartame or MSG. The problem is they don't know that they're feeding the cat MSG or aspartame or sugar anymore, because you don't have to put it on the label anymore.
Wow.
Because FDA granted not us, not the consumer, but industry the right to leave all that off and call it natural flavor because it's found in nature. If I say something wrong, and the FDA hears this interview with me, they're all going to be very upset. And what they're going to do is they're going to start secreting aspartic acid from their brain. Well, if you secrete some aspartic acid from your brain, which makes you really upset, then aspartic acid must be a natural thing because it is found in nature. So you take aspartic acid and you make it synthetic and you make it the whole thing, and then you genetically modify it, and then what comes out to be aspartame, made by Searle, owned by Monsanto. And that's what these animals are getting. They're getting artificial, genetically modified foods, and they're getting foods that they shouldn't be eating anyway. When the desert cat roamed through Egypt, they didn't have peas growing. They didn't get this, and they've really changed very little in that 6, 7, 8, 10,000 years, whatever it was when the pharaohs were around. The cat really hasn't changed much. Look at the cat, and the cat doesn't have the cat doesn't have the equipment to digest this kind of material. Because if you take Skunky, who's on my lap, and you turn her over, and then you take Benito, who's my dog, and they both weigh about 10 pounds, okay, and you take my little Yorkie Benito, and you take Skunky, and you put them on the table, and you unzipper them, you will find that Benito's digestive tract is over 2 times the size of Skunky's digestive tract. But they both weigh 10 pounds. That's why Benito can eat all this stuff. So you can give anything to a dog, but you can't give anything to a cat. That's why the cat is now has caught up with the dog in a lifespan down to 8 years old, because the cat is getting dog food. And you can't give a cat dog food because dog food is toxic to a cat. And cat food is toxic to a cat because the wrong things are in the cat food, because it makes it cheap, and that makes the consumer happy, and then they're misleading because there's blueberries in there, and the blueberries are toxic for the cat. So you're feeding the cat toxic food. All right, and then there's another thing, the last thing in there is the thing called meal. And how do you make meal? Are you ready for a break yet, or do you want to keep going?
Let's talk about how you make meal, and then we'll take the break.
Okay, how do you make meal? All right. If you go and park your car behind any supermarket in the United States, you will see eventually, if you're living behind there in your car, you'll see eventually, probably on the same day of the week, a big truck will come. And that truck will come, it's a garbage truck. And that truck will come, and everybody will come out of there, and it'll pull over to the back door of the supermarket. And then they'll come out with garbage cans. And that garbage can goes into the garbage truck. No big deal. Nobody ever sees it anyway. And they empty the garbage cans into the garbage truck. If you look into the garbage can, you'll see bones and meat scraps, and then you'll see outdated chicken in the wrapping. You'll see plastic, and now, of course, they have plastic bags in there because they don't want to be out there flushing out all this rotten, smelling, stinking stuff that goes into that garbage can. You'll see cigarettes in there. You'll see Coca-Cola bottles. You'll see Pepsi-Cola cans. You'll see Dr. Pepper cans. Well, that's aluminum. You'll see the most supermarkets now have a pharmacy, some sort of a pharmacy in there. So you'll see the empty jars from the cans of the plastic bottles where the pills and the pharmaceuticals were, with the tops in there, and you'll see the bones along with the meat and all that kind of stuff. And so all that goes into that garbage truck. Then that garbage truck is pushed in and compressed, all right? Mm-hmm. And then it goes to a place called a rendering house. And that stuff is dumped into a giant vat, and the vat is steam injected, and it boils those bones and those meat scraps and the outdated food and something that turned bad all together with the cans and the cigarettes that were thrown in there, and the cigarette packs and the pieces of cardboard, and all that is all ground up together, not ground up together. It's put in the and run through a grinder, put in the in this giant cauldron, and what happens is, all for the purpose of this, the fat comes off of all the meat and rises to the top. It's just like after Thanksgiving, we made turkey soup. So we took the carcass of the turkey and put it in a great big pot, and then we had turkey soup in my house for the next 4 days. Well, when you're cooking the turkey, all the meat and everything falls apart. The bones all get soft and they fall apart. They go to the bottom. And, of course, there's... whatever was in there, and the stuffing and everything that was left over goes in this pot. Well, the fat went to the top, and our grandparents used to take that fat and take it off and scoop it off with a ladle and put it in a pitcher. And that fat was used for frying and baking and all that stuff. That process is called rendering. And the fat is taken off. Now we're talking about a machine the size of a tub the size of your kitchen. That's about, you know, we're talking about, you know, 15 feet wide, 20 feet long, and it has big paddle wheels in it, and all this stuff is mixing and grinding and mixing and mixing and mixing and mixing. And the grinding is because the mixing will take all the stuff as it's falling apart and make mush out of it. And the mush goes to the bottom, and the fat goes to the top, and you render off the fat, and that's where the, remember I said the most expensive part of an animal is the fat?
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's what you want. You want the fat. And you take the fat off, and then you run it through different processes to clean it up, and that forms different kinds of greases, and that's sold to guess where, okay? Anybody that does deep frying, that's where it's sold to. And you can use your imagination where it's sold. So that's what you do. It's called the rendering. The rendering process is to get the fat. So instead of taking fat and put it in there, or meat and put it in there, that meat is mixed up with all this crud that the butchers that are smoking cigarettes back there in the place or outside or whatever they do, they're in there because I've been looking at this, examining this for years, and I've been inside the trucks. I mean, inside the garbage trucks, looking at this stuff. I've been chased. I've been yelled at. Come on, Doc, give us a break. What are you doing here? Nothing. I just want to, you know, I'm just taking pictures.
It should be illegal.
So that's what's in there. Who in the world would realize that this is what the animals are eating? So the fat is rendered off, and all the other stuff goes to the bottom. The stuff that goes to the bottom is then the water's drained off, because the fat's taken off the top, it's floating on the water. The water's drained off, the rest of the stuff is dried, and that's how you make meal. The meal is the dried, dead down, dying, diseased animals that are on the farm. They all go into this rendering pot. The roadkill goes into the rendering pot. Deer on the side of the road goes into the rendering pot. I don't want to tell you what else goes into the rendering pot because it's been done for years, but you can use your imagination. And when you and a dead down dying disease cow or a pig or chickens, all the chickens that don't go into human food go into, they don't throw those away. The whole chicken with the feathers and the feet and the tails and the stuff and the head and everything, that all goes into rendering. Because when you cook the chicken and you render it, the chicken fat comes to the top. So you look at your ingredient list and it says chicken fat. And that's where the chicken fat comes from, is the process of rendering. And our grandparents did it, and our parents did it, and everybody did it. We don't do it anymore because we just don't do that kind of stuff. We can go out and buy some sort of horrible oil that's genetically modified, like canola, and we use that to cook with. So that's what happens, and that's what goes into the food. And this tremendously unhealthy stuff is not fit for human consumption.
It's not fit for a living being's consumption, actually. On that note, let's take a break. You're listening to Medicine on Call.
Trust. For nearly four decades, that is the reputation Roberts & Roberts Brokerage has forged with their customers. Now, with their full e-commerce website, rrbi.co, it's easier than ever to buy or sell precious metals via Bitcoin or major credit card. Visit them online at rrbi.co or call 800-874-9760 to speak with an experienced professional today. Roberts & Roberts, when you're serious about precious metals.
Affordable health insurance was the promise of Obamacare. But for many, the government mandate caused more problems than it solved. This is Dr. Elena George from Medicine on Call, and I want to tell you about a truly affordable alternative allowed under Obamacare, Liberty HealthShare. Liberty HealthShare bypasses doctor and hospital panels, giving you the freedom to choose. And with a maximum of $500 out-of-pocket per person and 100% coverage up to $1 million per year per occurrence, you can rest assured knowing you and your family are protected. Coverage starts as low as $107 per month and also includes dental, vision, pharmacy, and holistic care. Liberty HealthShare puts you back in charge of your health. Visit them online at libertyoncall.org. Again, for a true affordable alternative to Obamacare, visit libertyoncall.org or call toll-free 1-800-714-6993 today.
Welcome back to Medicine on Call. You know, prior to the break, Dr. Broderick was really breaking down the essence of what makes the food industry for pets so bad. But I saw a parallel in everything that you said. We already know that for us, they're using sick, diseased, you know, cattle propped up by antibiotics and growth hormone in our food as humans. Genetically modified foods are in the corn, the soy, cottonseed, everything. So, you know, I personally think we're eating the same thing that the pets are. You know, they have the lower level, but we're right down there with them at this point, especially if it's processed foods. I mean, MSG, all these things are neurotoxins. They're liver toxic. They're kidney toxic. And you add in all the medicines that we prescribe for our patients, like Advil and other non-steroidal inflammatories, and we're really killing ourselves, not just our pets, but us as well. So I had a question for you. I wanted to ask you, I just want to know what your thoughts are. Why is dry food even worth feeding your pet, or should it be? If it's not going to be your food, which I think it should be, and if people go to cornucopiapetfoods.com, they can learn all about what Dr. Broderick's been talking about. But is there really a reason ever to give your pet dry food?
No.
In a word?
There's no reason to give them dry food. And so you tell the people, well, it's good for their teeth. Well, here's what I do. And all this is in my book also, which is Compassion for Pets, which is going to come out hopefully Valentine's Day. And so when you feed the dry food, it cleans the dog's teeth. Well, that is such a lie, because all you have to do, consumer listening audience, is take all your fingers and put them together and grab a little bit, just a fingerful, not a handful, but a fingerful, which you're not going to do anyway, of dry food, and then put it in your mouth, which you're not going to do. But if you did it, you chew it around for 6 seconds, it turns into mush, it sticks between your teeth like it does between the dog's teeth. It does absolutely nothing, and it is a total myth, scam, lie. The dry food cleans your teeth. If you want your dog and cat to clean their teeth, give them the toothpaste that they've been eating for 29 million years. It is known as a bone. Oh no, you can't give them a bone. They'll stick in their gut. They'll choke to death. They'll do all these horrible things. You know what? I've been a veterinary surgeon now for 47 and a half years, and I've never had one dog die of a bone. Not one. Or a cat die of a bone. Oh, I know they're in there, and I know people go in there and operate and take the bones out and all that stuff, and it's possible they can get stuck in there. But let me ask you something, Dr. George. Have you ever seen an animal die of bonitis?
No.
No. Well, neither have I. And like I said, I've treated a million of them. And it, the possibility is there, but so is the possibility of getting hit by lightning. And I'm sure, you know, one out of so many million people get hit by lightning. But how about the possibility that every other person dies of cancer? Every other boy dies of cancer. Every third woman dies of cancer. I don't know if these statistics are right, but this is what goes around, right? Every other animal, every other dog now dies of cancer. Every other cat dies of cancer. And guess what's really, but really, and those now, that's not a lightning bolt. That's not one in a million. That's every other one. Well, my grandfather and all his friends, they didn't have dogs dying of cancer or heart disease or kidney disease or liver disease or the goody, diabetes, okay? Diabetes. But diabetes, and before you die of diabetes, a person, you got your foot caught, you know, they take your toes off, then your foot off, then your ankle off, then your knee off. I mean, really, it's so preventable. It's so preventable. And with the animals, not only do I not have diabetes in my practice, is so rare, and it can happen. It can happen from other possibilities that we don't know about. But the general thing, there's always something that can happen where you can't explain it. It's like a convulsion, epilepsy. Well, epilepsy means it's a convulsion, but I don't know why it's convulsing. That's what epilepsy means. I know that's hard for doctors to say, because we were taught to say, to never to say, I don't know. I don't know the reason. I don't know the reason. I don't know. Nobody can say, I don't know. The greatest thing, when somebody says to me, you know, doc, I just don't know, I said, well, I applaud you for saying that. You don't know, because there's a lot of things that we don't know. I learn something every day. Every single day, I play this game with myself, because I love the fact that I learn something every day. Well, that must be a hell of a lot of things that I haven't known in the last year, because in the last year, I've learned at least 365 things that I didn't know in 2014. So it's no disgrace not to know something. That's why they call medicine practice. And if you practice, but nobody practices nutrition. That's the problem. Not nobody, but the one out of a thousand, okay? And it's the nutrition that's where it is. It's the answer to it. It's biology. We're not practicing biology. We're practicing synthetics. And the synthetics are great, and synthetics are cheap, and synthetics are all these things, but the synthetics are toxic. And that's what's in our food chain. Genetically modified stuff. That's what's in our food chain. No testing, nobody really knows what the outcome of genetic modification really is, because the stuff hasn't been tested.
It's a good point.
And nobody really knows the outcome of what happens when you take meal with all this stuff in the dry food, which now I'm getting back to your question, the dry food, what's in that meal, how toxic that meal is. Nobody knows that. And there's no regulation on it, because you can put anything into that meal. You think when a dead chicken goes in there, that somebody goes and picks out the plastic bags? Nobody's going to do that. Who are you going to hire to do that?
No.
You know, they'll say, oh, no. We have somebody that stands there and they pick out the cans. Oh, really? Really? Okay. Well, you know, when you go shopping, you order a you know, you go shopping for the week, and you're going to you're having people over, and you buy chicken. So on your shopping list, Elena, you're going to have a couple of chickens on the shopping list, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. You know what my shopping list was last week?
Mm-mm.
22,000 pounds of chicken, 18,000 pounds of turkey, 14,000 pounds of salmon. That was my shopping list. That was my personal shopping list. Okay.
Well, let's be more specific.
Every single thing certified organic.
There you go. Because that's why I want people to understand
certified
that.
Certified organic.
Organic, genetically modified, free, correct?
It's GMO free.
Uh huh.
It's the fish are wild, so you can't certify that as organic because they come from the sea. So you can't take wild fish and call it organic, but it's wild and wild caught fish. Right, we can go into that little political scam if you want to talk about that one. But here's the world full of circulating water all the time. The water, I'm going to segue for a second with the fish here because I brought it up. The water that fish is caught in off of Alaska. That water wasn't in Alaska last year. That water was in the Indian Ocean last year. Figure out the tides and the stuff, and not the tides, but the currents. And that water was in the Indian Ocean last year. And that water is in Alaska now. Well, how did it get there? Because that's what happens. That's what happens. All the water turns. It comes down from Alaska. It goes down past California. It goes down past Chile. It makes a left. And it goes around Cape Horn. It goes up past Argentina, and it comes up. Past Florida. It comes up past me in Long Island. It goes up to Greenland. It makes a right. It goes. It passes Iceland, and then it makes another right and goes down and turns past Ireland. That's why Ireland sticks out in the Gulf Stream. But they don't call it the Gulf Stream over there. And that's why Ireland's green all the time, because it's warm. That warm water goes down and goes down all the way down past Spain to Africa, makes a left, and then goes back. And where does it go to? It's headed toward the Indian Ocean again. And that's in a year. So the whole water is all circulating. There's nothing cleaner than the water. It's certainly a lot cleaner than we have on our land. Our land is full of artificial fertilizer that has no sulfur in it, and so those are the reasons. So I hope when I'm doing this lovely interview with you that the people pick up on the fact that not only am I answering your question, but I'm answering why. I'm answering your question,
mm-hmm.
Okay? And that's the key. The key is to know why you're doing this. If you ain't feeding organic, you're not feeding organic, okay? And that's the whole thing. The only salvation that we have is by eating organic. And organic costs more, so get over it. People of the listening audience, it's going to cost more to do organic. Everything is done by hand. Everything is done by hand. It's not, organic is not a mass production. Organic is carefully done, carefully planned out, and you can't have sewage sludge or artificial fertilizer put in your soil, which will make an artificial plant, which will make you an artificial person, which will make your cat and dog artificial. When you are artificial, when you become artificial, you then cease to exist. So in the ceasing to exist, your cells go crazy looking for an answer. And they get so mad, they go wild, and that's what produces the cancer.
I think you did an admirable job of giving us the baseline of the problem. Hey, tell us how my listeners can follow you and how they can buy your products and when your book comes out.
Well, the book was supposed to come out for Christmas. Now we're heading, we're doing everything that we can to get out for Valentine's Day, and that would be a nice thing to do. They follow me by going to Cornucopia. They can call. They can get information. The number is 631-427-7479. Our email is info@cornucopiaexpress.com. Do not send a text message or what do you call it when you write to somebody?
Email.
Without a phone number, because I don't type. I'm a dinosaur, and I'm 74 and a half years old. I don't type. So if they have a sick animal or a well animal, or they're interested in prevention, which is the key to everything, then they can reach us at cornucopiapetfoods.com. CornucopiaExpress.com, info@CornucopiaExpress.com, or 631-427-7479.
Thank you, Dr. Broderick, for coming on. I really appreciate it and look forward to having you back.
Well, I really, really do appreciate this, and I just want to let them know that when we went through the cat thing, and how toxic it is for the cat, is just as toxic for the dog. It's just as toxic for the dog. And that's why these animals are dying. And so every single thing that we do, and I go all over the world to get my ingredients, and every single thing that I try to do is absolutely organic and wild.
Thank you. On that note, thank you for listening to Medicine on Call.
Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Promoting peace, liberty, and prosperity around the clock. LibertyTalk.fm.